The state recently shared that numerous studies are showing a strong correlation between animal abuse, child maltreatment, and other forms of interpersonal violence like domestic violence and elder abuse. That correlation is often referred to as the link. And so a lot of state agencies have started to sort of work together in addressing the link and trying to combat these issues that we are seeing, including the Department of Agriculture, especially specifically on the animal abuse cases. Joining us now is Commissioner Brian Hurlburt to talk more about this. And Brian, first of all, welcome back to the show. What agencies have really focused on this? Could you outline that for us?
Yeah, thank you, Melissa, and thanks for dedicating some of the time in your programming to the link and the importance of it. We work directly with the Department of Children and Families on sharing information, but we work through our networks of all the municipal animal control officers around the state and their town halls. You know, we funnel that information up, share it with DCF. DCF shares information with us that they receive from their network. So there's the network is pretty wide when it comes to who's sharing this information. I'd say it's wide but narrow, because obviously each individual case, we want to protect the individuals involved, but there's a lot of people looking out for this. And it's an important conversation to have and to make sure people are aware of.
And Brian, where did this term the link come from? Is it recent that it was kind of created or referred to, this correlation between, you know, animal abuse and child abuse or domestic abuse?
Yeah, it's not a new term, but there's certainly a lot more attention to it. And over the past 10 to 15 years, there's been a lot more public policy surrounding it. But I want to say that the link between violence in homes, between animals and people, was first acknowledged in the 70s, but nothing was done about it. It was just like, oh, that's there. And then in the 90s and the early 2000s, policymakers realized, like, well, if we have this information and we know there's this correlation, what are we going to do about it? Connecticut was one of the first states in the nation to actually create a law that said the link exists. And we have different agencies that might have access to individual information. And so we need to make sure that that information is shared appropriately so that the appropriate agency can take the appropriate response. A former colleague of mine in the state legislature, Diana Urban, state representative from Southeast Connecticut, was really attuned to this topic. As chair of the Children's Committee, and she and I worked on this when I was in the legislature with her. She was the lead strong animal advocate and partner on this, but saying, you know, if animal control officers are seeing an animal abused, there's the high likelihood that a child is also being abused. And nationally, that likelihood is animals were harmed in 88% of homes where a child was abused. So almost 90% of the time, there's a direct correlation. So instead of just acknowledging that it's there, she said something should be done about this. We should have the Department of Agriculture talk to the Department of Children and Families, because those children are at risk. And likewise, if DCF gets a call about a child or a family at risk, they should let us know, because the animals in that home are likely at risk. Mm. And so this is something that we've spent a fair amount of time on during my tenure at the department, to make sure that not only are we honoring the intent, but we're actually working with local ACOs, partners at DCF, and the team at the Department of Agriculture to make sure that we're taking this seriously.
So Commissioner Brian Hurlburt's here from the Department of Agriculture in Connecticut. And Commissioner, explain to us, you know, so what is it? I don't want to say what does it matter, but like, what do you do with that? That's probably a better way of putting it. What do you do with that? Okay, so if we have a report, for example, of an animal hoarding situation or animal cruelty or complaints about it, and you're now in this network with other agencies such as DCF, you know, how does that work now? Hey, we had a situation where, you know, where there was an animal hoarding or there was something that happened. So now we're alerting DCF about it. And then what do they do? Or you know, I guess help us to understand sort of now what this means, this collaboration means.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And how do we, you know, the law says they have to share the reports. And quite honestly, when I came to this agency, that's what we did. We sent them a file in the mail, hard copy. They sent us a file in the mail, hard copy. We had a folder. We put the document in. That's not the intent of this. The intent is that something's going to happen. So what happens is if DCF says, hey, we are in a home with alleged abuse, and we noticed, our caseworker noticed animals were there. Either a state animal control officer or we will pass along to the municipal animal control officer, will go and conduct a visit, make sure that those animals are safe. Likewise, if a local animal control officer or state animal control officer make a visit and notice that the animals are at danger, we will notify DCF and they'll make a visit. And I will share that during the course of my tenure here, this has led to significant interventions. Because of this link and because of this cross-reporting, we have had to go in and unfortunately take animals from a home that were not being treated because a DCF worker was doing a wellness check on a child and noticed the animals in the home.
Situations where that's happened. Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah, so this isn't an exercise in paperwork and yay, rah, rah for us because we talk to each other. This is it actually makes a difference for the families and for the animals. And as was said at the press conference that we did at the end of April, how we treat those who can't speak up for themselves says a lot about who we are as a society. So if 90% of homes where a child is abused, animal is abused, we got to intervene on that. 45% of people who have encountered elder abuse also have noticed animal abuse. So, these are people who might not have the same strength or abilities or knowledge to alert somebody or have a voice. Obviously a dog can't make a phone call to 911 and let, police know that a child or they're being abused. So we've got to use the information that's available to us to connect the dots and then intervene appropriately. But yeah, it has happened. It's really unfortunate, but that's the reason why we do this work.
And I so appreciate Commissioner Brian Hurlburt talking to us about this. And certainly I know there's more information really highlighting, again, the link and understanding it a lot better on the state government website. But thank you so much for sharing all of this on WICC. Commissioner Hurlburt, we really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. Brian Hurlburt again, who is the commissioner of the Department of Agriculture here in Connecticut, right here on WICC.